I like to start each message with a couple of thoughts to inspire you. And this evening's first thought is this: the fire that you kindle against your enemies often burns you more than it burns them. And the second thing is this: let your religion be less of a theory and more of a love affair. Isn't that beautiful? Wow, that's our faith. As always, it is so good to be with you. And I must say, I truly missed each and every one of you while I was on vacation, because you are my brothers and sisters in Christ, whom I love very much. So it's good to be back with you. In today's second reading, Paul refers to God's first installment. A first installment, he says, of spiritual riches that have been given to us. I want you to think about this for a moment. Did you know that you are an extremely wealthy person in the things that matter most in life? That's pretty profound. I think it is. And Paul goes on to say that this great and first deposit of spiritual wealth that we receive is the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit. And since we are taking the opportunity this summer to learn more about the inspiration of the Holy Mass, it only seems natural that we would want to explore this evening the power of the Holy Spirit, the personal and the corporate or community rewards that we receive through the power of the Holy Spirit through the Mass. Here's an inspiring thought to start with. Every liturgical action, everything we do in the Mass is bursting with Spirit-filled power. I like one of the descriptors of the Holy Spirit is the word dunamis, which means dynamite, meaning that the Holy Spirit is dynamite when the Spirit is in our lives and when the Spirit is in our midst. So let's take a look now at some of the ways that the Holy Spirit is active right now through the Holy Mass. The first way that the Holy Spirit is at work during the Mass is by making the readings of the Old Testament and the Psalms come alive to us. Come alive to us. See, it is during the readings of these scriptures, we heard Amos and we heard you sing so beautifully the psalm this evening. We see that the scriptures are prophecies. They're foretelling of Jesus who is to come, Jesus who now has fulfilled these things. That's why the church refers to them as a rereading of the Old Testament and Psalms, because now the Holy Spirit reveals Jesus to us. Let me give you a couple of quick examples. You've heard of the book of Jonah. You've heard the story of Jonah. Well, listen to what Jesus had to say. He said this: "For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." Do you see that fulfillment of the prophecy that was given hundreds of years before? And here's another one that Jesus said. See, Jesus was keenly in touch with this, the moving and the prophecy of God in leading us to understanding who Jesus is. Jesus said this. He said that your forefathers ate manna in the desert, which came from heaven. But then he says, "But I am the living bread that came down from heaven. And if anyone eats of this bread," meaning Jesus, "they will live forever and ever." And then we also see the rereading of the scriptures in tonight's readings. We have Amos, the prophet, who is prophesying, going out, and they're saying to him, "But you're not a prophet." And he says, "You know, you're right. I'm just a shepherd. I'm a dresser of sycamore trees." And what did Jesus do in the gospel reading? Well, he sent out simple fishermen and tax collectors, his apostles, to share the good news of God's kingdom. There's that fulfillment of prophecy. So the Holy Spirit is at work making Jesus come alive to us. A second way that the Holy Spirit is at work during the Mass is what we call a mnemosis. You ever heard of that word? Well, it took me going to graduate school of theology to be able to even say the word. You know, I'm pretty rough with the English language. I guess it's coming from the mountains or whatever, but I can really cut it up sometimes. But I would give you another English equivalent for this word, but there isn't one. Wouldn't you know it? There's not an equivalent to it, but it's closely related to remembering. Remembering, but it is much more dynamic and engaging for that than that. For example, when we hear the words in a moment where it says that he broke the bread and he took the cup and he gave them to the disciples, these are words that are not spoken for the purpose of recalling an event that took place 2,000 years ago through some kind of reenactment. No, but instead it is actually occurring before our very eyes. It's occurring before our very eyes. See, through the power of the Holy Spirit working in our midst and working at the altar, the Eucharist, the body and blood of Christ, is re-presented to us, as the church says. A third way that the Holy Spirit is at work during Mass also exceeds all limits of human comprehension. It's another one of those fancy words which is called epiclesis. Epiclesis. But there's a more of a good English equivalent to that word, and it means to invoke. It means to call upon. And who are we invoking during the Holy Mass? The Holy Spirit, right? It is the Holy Spirit. I really like how the church describes the word epiclesis at Mass. They say this: when the priest begs the Father, and that's for sure, to send the Holy Spirit so that the gifts of bread and wine may become the body and blood of Christ, it happens. It happens. Think of this. I always think of this at the Mass. When the liturgy of the Eucharist begins, the Holy Spirit now has been in our midst, in our community, now is hovering over the altar. And at the words spoken by Jesus, the Holy Spirit swoops down and takes common, ordinary elements of bread and wine and turns them into the literal body and blood of Christ. How could you not be just totally, amazingly enthralled in what God is doing in our midst tonight? I was thinking about that today. This is my fourth time giving this homily, and it's just like, wow, this is so mystical. This is Christ coming to us in his literal presence. In his literal presence. Gosh, that's amazing to me. And if that were not enough, it is during the Mass that the Holy Spirit is called upon or invoked a second time. And this takes place, I want you to listen for it in the Mass tonight. This takes place when the priest says, "May all of us who share in the body and blood of Christ be brought together in unity by the Holy Spirit." Now, I want you to think about this. The more you think about what God is doing in our midst, the more it causes you to fall out of your chair. You're just literally blown away with it. But here's what the church is trying to teach us. Our very unity, and as a community, and see, as Catholics, community is extremely important. Our very unity is derived from the action of the Holy Spirit in our midst. It amazes me when I sit and I think and I look and I see, I think the Holy Spirit is working right now in our midst, bringing us together as the body of Christ. See, this is the beautiful thing about our faith and the Holy Spirit. It is through the work of the Holy Spirit that all cultural, all social, all racial, indeed all human affinities in life are transcended. Now, we have a tendency to tag people or designate or keyhole people, but we don't do that because our leveling ground, our common boundary, our common ground is what? Jesus. It is Jesus. We all come to the table through him, not through any other designation in life. So there can be no doubt, I mean, there's no doubt in the least of thought that the Holy Spirit is dynamically alive and active and present in the Mass. It is just a reality of life. Now, nothing that we can do can change that. We can't add any more to the sacrifice of Christ. Nothing can change what Jesus has done for us, and we wouldn't want to change that, would we? But I think here's the practical question. Here's the burning question, I think, in light of the Holy Spirit being in our midst. How do we become more engaged? How do we become more energized or in touch with all the things that is going on around us during the Holy Mass? Here's a good way to pose the question. How is it possible at the same Mass that one person can be consumed and engulfed in what God is doing in their midst, and the other person sitting beside them can be bored to tears? How is that possible? How does that happen? Well, here's how it works. The church teaches us that our engagement at Mass is a joint effort. It's a joint effort. It involves the Holy Spirit, but it also involves ourselves, our participation, our conscious decision to cooperate with what God is doing in our midst. And I think that's why Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus. He said these words to the church. He said, "Church, do not quench the Holy Spirit," meaning don't drown out the Holy Spirit. But instead, what does he say? He says, "Fan the power of the Spirit in your life. Make it like a burning fire. Take those embers and make them and turn them into a burning fire." That's what God wants to take place at the Holy Mass. So let me offer you a few suggestions this evening for being able to work more closely or jointly with the Holy Spirit in order to engage more fully in the Holy Mass. First of all, study about the Mass. This is very enlightening. Every sight, every sound, every smell, everything about the Mass has meaning. It always excites me when somebody learns about, "Well, I didn't know that this meant that at the Holy Mass," because it's like, wow, that's really neat. That's really cool. So learning what takes place at the Mass is important. Another one is come expecting to receive a blessing. How many of you came through the door tonight expecting a blessing from God at the Mass? How many of you? You know? Well, why wouldn't you do that? Why wouldn't you expect that blessing? Another one is this. Leave all of your to-do lists and all of your distractions at home. Some of you are probably making a list right now what you got to do next week. Forget it. It's not worth it compared to what you have going on at this place. Here's another one. Don't come to Mass to zone out from everything in life. Now, this one sort of surprises me because as a priest, some people have actually told me this. They said that they come to Mass because it is so boring. And it's the place where they can have a few minutes each week just to zone out of life. Now, let me answer that to you carefully. People have literally told me that. Let me answer that question to you. If there's one time of the week when you need to be on the top of your game, it's during the Mass. That's the time you need to be. Why is that? Why would it matter? Well, it is because during the Mass that we receive the spiritual vitality, the spiritual food we need as we go into the next week. So don't zone out, but instead be on the top of your game. Another one is to be grateful that you're at the Mass. Do you realize, my dear friends, that you are here by invitation only? Did you know that? Did you know that? God, the scriptures teach us, God has no need for our praise, but because he loves us, and he allows us, he invites us to come into this wonderful celebration. It's all for us. It's all for our good. So remember, you're here tonight by invitation only. Another one is don't worry about what you're going to eat after Mass tonight. You know, sometimes we think about that. Well, are we going to have chicken or are we going to have hamburger? What are we going to have? No, let those things alone. Turn your focus to Christ. Another one is to help others engage in the Mass by exhibiting your joy in participation. Pope Francis is really big on this, big on this. He's always telling us to be hospitable. He's telling us to smile when we're at the Mass. Now, why would we do that? Well, what do we call it? We call it the celebration of the Holy Mass, don't we? It's a celebration. It's not called the dirge or the dearth of the Holy Mass, is it? But it is called a celebration.
And so when we think about what Christ is doing in our midst, it should bring great joy into our lives and into our hearts. Another one is to attend Mass regularly. That's a no-brainer. And then the final one is to pray for the priest. Now, this one might surprise you a little bit, but listen to what the church teaches us about the priest presiding at the Mass. It writes this: no other single factor affects the liturgy as much as the attitude, the style, and the bearing of the priest celebrant. Now, why am I telling you that? I'm telling you that because I'm asking you to pray for Father Albert and I when we celebrate the Holy Mass. We need your prayers in order that we can be present and engage and actively participating in the Holy Mass. It's important. I'd like to leave you with two thoughts for reflection this evening. First of all, the message hashtag is naturally engage in the Mass. So if you're thinking, you're sitting there tonight and you're thinking that you don't get anything out of the Mass, or that it's boring, or that you're planning on taking a vacation from Mass this summer, I would strongly encourage you to do this. Do a reality check and really ask yourself, what is it that you're saying to yourself? And the final thing is this: what one thing can you do? You know, the Mass is just halfway through. What one thing can you do before this Mass ends tonight that will make you a more active participant? God bless each and every one of you. And now, my dear friends, it is with the greatest of joy that I invite you to stand and